Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Hey, ghost, no matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson. We got Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing, and man, oh man, we have a show for you. Let's recap Thursday Night Football, Jalen Hurts versus TB12. Head on over to the baseball diamond, Game 5, must win it all for the Dodgers-Giants. Who walks away victorious? And of course, I give you my best bets. But I start the day off with this. I look good this morning. I feel myself this morning. I don't know why. I don't understand what it is. But something about Hawaiian shirts just makes me happy. You know, there's always like that one thing that people always have. Some people always feel like that they wear nice shoes. Some people always feel like, you know, their designer jeans are good. They have a nice ring every single day. I own a lot of Hawaiian shirts. Like, I own a ridiculously no amount of reason. There's not a justification behind it kind of Hawaiian shirt. And I said for the past couple of weeks, you know what? I'm going to make it Hawaiian Friday. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to make sure that every single Friday I am wearing something that is very Hawaiian. It looks the part. It's easy breezy. Head on into the weekend with nothing but smiles and, more importantly, good vibes. And I didn't do that. I did not wear the Hawaiian shirt the past couple of weeks. But what's interesting is that when I left the show, I also did not feel that great about the show. Now, sometimes I thought that they were really good shows, but they weren't 100% shows. But now that I'm wearing the Hawaiian shirt, now that this has dawned upon me, like the cape that it is to hide my secret identity inside, I promise you people, this is going to be the best show ever. It's going to be great. We're going to be able to have streamers, balloons. We're going to have fun clown music going on in the background. Now, that's all terrifying. Let's be real. That's all terrifying. But no, we do have a good show. And I do think in life, if you want success, dress your best. If you can't do that, then you are going to be in trouble. So wearing this, looking like this, you know what? It works for me. It really works for me. I'm very pleased with how it is. But no, we got a great show for you ahead. We got to talk all things about Tom Brady. We got to talk all things about the likes of Jalen Hurts. And of course, MLB postseason recap right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
You know what's fun is that you're only as good as your supporting cast sometimes in life. And that doesn't mean to be an insult. That just means that there are times where you do need to rely on those around you to help you out of a situation. Now, what I mean by that more so than anything else is, when you look at certain teams in the NFL, you always can elevate a player's game. You always can figure out if a player is good or not based off how the others act around him or also how you build around him. And one of those people that I do think could be successful, I really do think that he could, but they're just not giving him a full chance. Maybe they are, is Jalen Hurts. Listen, I walk away thinking that last night, you know what? Tampa Bay's going to win this game. I walked into last night. Tampa Bay's going to win this game. They feel like the more complete team. They feel like that they're going to be able to make less mistakes, be more pass efficient, and work downfield, get some points, score, get out of this with ease. For most of the game, they did. I mean, for most of the game, before the touchdowns at the very end, it was 28-7. I mean, it was 28-7 going into the last 20 minutes of the game. This felt like a one-sided game. But then, of course, get some garbage touchdowns. Jalen Hurts rushes for two. Final score, 28-22. Not a bad score. Didn't cover the spread, but not a bad score. At that point, it felt like that. Tampa was taking their foot off the gas. They were more so like, yeah, we're going to wait and see. But, again, Jalen Hurts. That's three touchdowns on the day. Three total touchdowns on the day. Most people will be pleased at that. But read the whole stat line, because that's the most important part. Hurts averaged 4.4 yards per throw. He had a QBR rating of 40. He had two sacks allowed. And even though he rushed for two touchdowns, he actually averaged more on the ground than through the air. He had a couple good passes. I think he had three passes of over 20-plus yards, four passes of over 10-plus yards. Also was very limited with it. Quez Watkins had three receptions. Devonta Smith had two receptions. Zach Ertz was very prone as the tight end. No Dallas Goedert, so that took away another passing element. And it felt like there were so many times last night. Because here was the final stat line, 12 of 26. There were so many times last night where if you include the 26 plays that Hurts was asked to pass, plus the 10 more plays he was asked to run, 36 plays feels like a lot. It feels like a lot for a player who's trying to figure things out. With really a very inefficient offensive line. I know they ranked like 6th or 7th on Pro Football Focus. They did not look like the 6th or 7th best offensive line last night. They looked more like the 15th, 17th best offensive line last night. They looked more like an incomplete team that you don't know what's the incompletion. Sure, does the offensive line need to get better? Yeah. Do they need to add maybe another frontier wide receiver now that Jalen Reagor feels more and more like a bust? Yeah, probably. But it also feels like at the same time, Hurts is holding them back. And he shouldn't, but the way that it just feels whenever we talk about him, whenever Nick Sirianni kind of comes into the conversation, just feels like he's kind of being forced there. He's not feeling comfortable in his settings. He's not feeling comfortable with where he's playing. That doesn't excuse the fact that he's playing poorly. What I'm saying is that when you're asked to do too much at times, it feels like that you're kind of the problem. You're not the problem, but something is a problem here. Maybe just Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are not meant to be together. There's always times that happen like that. Like, think about this. We've all worked with that one person who drives us crazy, and we're never going to want to work with them again. Doesn't mean that they're not good at what they do. Trust me, there was a couple of kids in high school that I know that were like that. They were impossible to work with. But you ever talk to them outside of the building? Nice people. Really easy to get along with. They're just, their work ethic and your work ethic don't match up. They don't stand at the same level. They're at two completely different capacities. That's all it is. Like, that's all it is. But Hurts has got to start to show something. Last night's game was a perfect example of where he could go ahead, stretch the field, try to show off his arm, prove that he was a better passer, and he did it. For as many as bad calls as Sirianni made, that was as many as bad throws Jalen Hurts made. I counted on both hands how many throws were either underthrown, how many balls were either undershot, over his head, or just wasn't in sync with his receiver. I counted on both hands. I could have gone with a third hand if I really wanted to. Because it wasn't that Jalen Hurts is a bad quarterback. It's that Jalen Hurts is not improving. So it's making him even worse of a quarterback. Do you think that Jalen Hurts could work in the NFL? Yeah. Listen, if Lamar Jackson can take 3.5 years to improve as a passer and now look the legitimate part of an all-pro quarterback, maybe Jalen Hurts needs another season. I don't know. What I do know is that last night going up against the worst-ranked pass defense in the NFL, you were expecting better numbers. You were expecting a kid who is trying to show that he could be the franchise guy for an organization that constantly is finding negative spotlight. Just because of the fans, the way that, you know, the location, all that ish. You look at that. You want him to show up. You want him to show that at least he can be efficient as a passer. He can work well with the wide receivers that he has. He can work well with the staff that he has at hand. And it just didn't add up. It just doesn't add up. At some point in every single relationship, somebody's going to call it quits. Now, Howie Roseman could say, I'm fired at the end of the year. And if he's fired, does that mean that Nick Sirianni stays? I don't know. Does that mean that Jalen Hurts stays? Probably not. But one of these two is probably not going to be here next year. And if they are, it's going to be on the bench, and it's the head coach still. Jalen Hurts is not great. He just isn't. He's not also the worst quarterback. But when you look at how the offense is playing and what you were expecting from him last night, it shows there's some type of mental gap, just a little bit of an edge, a little bit of forgottenness for one of these two. And I don't know what it is, but it needs to be figured out soon. Now on the flip side, Tampa Bay. When I look at Tampa Bay, overall, not a bad day. Not a bad day. Tom Brady almost threw for 300 yards. Yet another big-time day for Antonio Brown. Leonard Fournette showed that he was a true runner. He was the lead back. There was a lot to like. There was a lot to like about this Tampa Bay team. But you look at this Tampa Bay team, I still feel like they were off. Maybe it was against the run. I mean, they only allowed 100 rushing yards. But at the same time, they did allow two late touchdowns, two garbage touchdowns. In pass coverage, they did allow a couple big-time plays overshot over the field. And, it just felt off. They did not feel like a complete team last night. Maybe that's because they were trying to be easy. Maybe because it was a short week. Maybe it was because of they just understood, you know, their situation. They were up by so high. They were going to be fine. I don't know what it was. But I look at the remaining bit of the schedule. They're lucky because if they can get easy wins over teams like the Bears and the Giants, maybe Washington, the Saints are going to be a tough out, and then you have the Colts. I don't really know. But I feel like that there's something missing from this offense and something very much missing from the defense. Defense, it's easy. It's health and stability as a number two corner. Jamel Dean on average is the team's number three, and with Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy bunting out, he has to play the number one role. Like, that's all it is. Like that part makes sense. Richard Sherman gets hurt in the game. He has to leave because of it, a hamstring injury. And the fact they ruled him out so fast shows that it's a very significant hamstring injury. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this roster. I don't know what to make of the Bucs. Because of they've played some sloppy football in the past. They've also played some elite football in the past. Now, Tom Brady, one interception, I'll take that. I'll take the interception. Because of at least I'm getting two touchdown passes. At least I'm scoring points. And by the way, I'm still looking the part of a young, talented quarterback despite being 45 years old. I'm still looking the part of a guy who knows how to pass. Rating of over 102.1 connects with seven or eight different targets, I believe it is. One, two. Yeah, eight different targets on the day. Does his part. Tampa Bay, I think, is never going to have to worry. It's like those Patriots teams of the past where the defense was okay. Offense was, not really a good wide receiver, but you had Tom Brady. So Tom Brady was able to get to the playoffs. Tom Brady was able to keep you deep into the postseason. You were always a viable threat so long as TB12 was healthy. Were the new San Francisco Giants screwed on Thursday night? Did they get the right call on the Wilmer Flores check swing? Let's talk about that next right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life your battery has left? Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free, and if it does need to be replaced, they will find just the right one that fits your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. So it's one of those things where when you look at a team, you want to make sure that it ends on a positive note. You want to make sure that it ends in the right direction. Everything ends and culminates in a victory. If you really look at last night's game, Game 5 of the NLDS, I don't think anybody got screwed out of anything. These are the two best teams in baseball. Unfortunately, they play in the same division, and unfortunately, when that happens, and you are a wild card, you're going to play the best team. So it didn't matter when this was going to happen. It was always going to happen. San Francisco versus LA. One of these two was going to win the number one seed. The loser was going to win the wild card and host the wild card game. The winner of that wild card game was going to go ahead and play the other. Nobody got screwed in that aspect. But you look top to bottom at this roster. Dave Roberts made a very strange call to begin the game. He went with the reliever in Corey Kiermaier over Julio Urias just to get the game started. And it kind of worked. I mean, it kind of worked if you really think about it. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Urias gave up a home run. But at the same time, they were able to get the run back off of, I'm blanking on the kid's name from San Francisco. But Cody Bellinger's single was able to score Justin Turner in the ninth inning to put them ahead. But I don't think anybody got screwed here. I really don't. When you look at this from top to bottom, both rosters knew what was at stake. Both rosters knew that they were going to have to play each other. And both rosters showed why they were probably the two strongest teams all season. Great pitching. Very limited hits. One team had eight. One team had six. They both couldn't capitalize with runners in scoring position. But that's really more so based off the relief pitching that you saw from both the Dodgers and the Giants. But what's interesting is how the game ended. I don't mind that the Dodgers won 2-1. I thought for sure that the Dodgers could win this series. I thought for sure the Dodgers were going to be able to play in the next series. But I did not think it was going to go down the way it did, if that makes any sense. Wilmer Flores, I think it was a 1-2 count. They go ahead. They give him a check swing, ball game over. Check swing, ball game over. No review, no question. Guys, this is game five. Like, let's just get this out of the way. This is game five of a divisional series. It's game clinching time. If you want to, for one second, believe that that's okay, it's not. You have to check every single call. If this was game two and it was a 1-1 series, nobody's going to care. If it was game four, and even though somebody was going to move, either improve to 2-2, nobody's going to care. You care because of it's the final play of the game. What if he doesn't swing? What if he doesn't fully swing through? You got a runner on first base. All you got to do is advance him. Couldn't you? I mean, can't you? Like, honestly, can you not? Review every play possible. Don't just go, you know what? I'm cool. That's fine. Whatever. I'm done. Don't just go, you know what? I don't really care. Game over. For San Francisco fans, that's to be so infuriating because of you know that you're better than this. You know that your record is so much better than what it showed in last night's game. And for you to get out on a check swing to call it a day, that's rough. That's extremely rough. I will say the Dodgers were the hot team all series. If you didn't score early, if you were the Giants, you weren't going to score. The Dodgers were always able to climb back. So in the end, yes, in a reality, I do believe Los Angeles was a better team, was a much better team for this postseason than the Giants. Now, does that mean that they were a great team? No, it means they were a better team. That's it. Does that mean that that this is going to be, you know, a difference maker that now that you're playing in the CS? Probably not. I think a lot of people thought that whoever's going to win this was also going to represent the NL when it comes to the World Series. I don't think anybody is doubting that either. But for you to go out on that pathway, for you to lose on that style, it's frustrating. And I don't think anybody would deny that it is frustrating. And I don't think anybody would deny that that's something that you would have to look at. Because of time and time and time and time and time and time again, you want things to end on a positive note. And if you don't want it to end on a positive note, you at least want it to end in the right direction. When I look right now at this, the way the game ended, it didn't. It just didn't for me. It was one of those games that, sure, You saw it. You walk away feeling kind of comfortable. But it just didn't feel right. Do I think that Los Angeles would have won if Wilmer Flores didn't check swing? Yeah, I do. Do I think that if in a game like this, the fact that you don't review it is a problem? Yeah, I do. I do view that way. So, fun story, Kyrie Irving is in the news because of the Brooklyn Nets are basically telling him to stay home due to his vaccination mandate. Now, again, this is not an NBA thing. The NBA is choosing to allow players to decide what they want to do with the mandate. But if you live in a state or you live in a county and you play in a county that is requiring COVID-19 vaccinations and you can't get one or you refuse to get one, that's a better probably term for it, then you are not allowed to play. You are not allowed to be out there. Which to me feels somewhat fair. I mean, again, it's not the NBA telling you, you must do this, you must do that. It's the state of New York telling you. But Kyrie went on Instagram, hit an Instagram Live, talked it out, went through all the things he doesn't like, how he's not giving up, he's not quitting on the team, he's not doing any of that. And a couple days later, I mean, the next day, James Harden had some things to say about that.
I mean, that's the front office. We had conversations, you know, and as far as a collective unit, you know, and the ultimate decision that the front office made was that, you know, if Kyle wasn't going to be here full time, then it's best for him not to be around the team part time. So, you know, I have no, you know, say so in that. And, you know, I can only state my opinion and you know, we got to continue to move forward. Obviously, we would love to have Kyrie here.
Listen, I don't think anybody's doubting that you would love to have Kyrie there. When you're at the number one team or the favorites to win the NBA Finals, part of that is due to Kyrie Irving. Now, Irving has fallen off path in the last 2 years, but to be able to win a championship series, you need to have Kyrie Irving on your roster if you're the Baltimore, if you're the Brooklyn Nets. If you're Brooklyn, you need to have him. But what's funny is people are always talking about freedom, freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of writing, freedom of this. Guys, I'm not going to get political here, and I never will. I don't like politics. I'll be completely honest. I absolutely hate politics. They're the worst. But I think that we kind of forget what freedom of speech is. Michael, do you understand what freedom of speech is?
Of course I do.
Yeah, thank you. Because you want to know why? Because you're a smart man. You are a very smart man. You are a proud American. But
yes,
that's not the point. I can say a lot of different things on this air. I can say a lot of different, I can say a lot of cuss words, I can say a lot of naughty things. I can go ahead and do all that. The FCC can consequence me by making sure I never perform on air again. Kyler Murray can dominate any single weekend against a poor defense in the NFL. An NFL player can choose to get a cheap shot on him and then pay the fine. I can choose to go eat pizza for the rest of my life. The consequence is I'm going to gain a lot of weight very fast.
And have a short life.
Yeah, and have a very short life. Nobody is going to tell you this right now. I'm just going to be completely honest with this. You know, it's my freedom of speech. It's Kyrie's freedom. It's Kyrie's this. It's Kyrie's that. You're right. It is. It's also his choice. Let's get that out of the way. Freedom of speech and freedom of all this is a choice. You still have to pay the consequences. You don't just get to walk away scot-free because of, oh, it's my freedom of speech. First Amendment. No, First Amendment just allows you to say whatever you want and not be, you know, shot to death right on the spot. That's what the First Amendment does. It doesn't get you a get-out-of-free-jail card. In a city that is mask-mandated still or vaccine-mandated, if you're not going to play there, guess what? That's your choice. It's not. They're not invading on your freedom of speech. They're not invading on your freedom of anything. That's your choice to sit out. It's your choice to potentially cost the Nets a championship. It's your choice and your actions that's allowing you to miss time. That's on you. That's not freedom of anything. That's your choice. We got to start getting that right, guys. I don't know. I feel for the Nets because I think that they could actually win a championship, but Kyrie's got to be on that roster to do so.
It's Friday. So let's look ahead to the weekend and get Cole Thompson's best bets.
Place your bets!
Well, last week I crushed it. The week before I crushed it. I haven't missed my lock of the week in college football in a hot minute. And minus the upset, which, by the way, Michael does not get to slap me for if he ever wants to. It's only the lock of the week. I feel pretty confident about myself. So let's go ahead and give you my best bets going into this week of games that you must try to get in on the line. Here we go. Let's start out with number 5, Alabama, traveling to Wade Davis Stadium to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. The line is at plus 17. Guys, I can tell you this right now. As an Alabama alum, I know what it feels like to lose a football game. It is very few and far between. It is very uncommon to watch happen underneath the Nick Saban regime. But here's the other thing you got to know about Nick Saban. Pray. Everyone pray. Everybody on that Bulldogs team is a proud, practicing, religious person. All saying their prayers up to a higher being that Alabama will not be marching in as pissed as all heck. Ready for coming and for blood every single play for the next 22 quarters of football. Because when Nick Saban loses a game, the next team that comes up is its victim. It is horrifying. It is JMB. For anybody who does not know what that is, I can tell you, congratulations, Tuscaloosa. You got me in on it. Joyless murder ball. It is always joyless murder ball when the Alabama Crimson Tide lose, because the next game, they take their frustrations out on its opponent. 17 feels like way too low of a line, especially for a Heisman Trophy frontrunner candidate in Bryce Young, coming off a pretty good performance, still yet not good enough to defeat the likes of Texas A&M in College Station. Guess what? Young, Saban, this defense is going to be having a lot of pent-up anger this past week in practice. They left some of it pent up. They're about to unload it on Mike Leach's team. I get it. The air raid is kind of working right now. Doesn't matter. I like Alabama, even though the line is at plus 17. Number 11 versus number 1, Georgia, Kentucky, traveling to the Hedges. Line at minus 23.5 in favor of the Bulldogs. I may kind of regret this one. I really might. This is one of those ones where, like, I think about it, and I'm going back in my head, and I'm wondering, why am I doing this? Why am I going to put myself through this pain? But if there's ever going to be a team that's going to take on Georgia outright this season and just straight up beat them in the regular season, it is going to be this Kentucky team. Kentucky right now has started off 6-0 for the first time since 1951. And the coach that did that, by the way, his name was Paul Bear Bryant. For anybody who doesn't know who that is, go look up a history book. Go type in the words Houndstooth. Type in the words Roll Tide. You'll probably see a photo of him. That's just how talented he was. Got his start at Kentucky before breaking out and becoming the next big-time coach in the realm of college football. Mark Stoops is doing the exact same thing. He has this defense playing very well. Chris Rodriguez is one of the best running backs in the country. And Will Levis, even though I do not think that he is NFL material yet, is looking strong underneath the offensive play calling of Liam Cohen. The addition of Cohen is so big and influential for this team's success. I think there's no denying that this is going to be a trend you start seeing in the future. Former quarterbacks coaches in the NFL, wide receivers coaches in the NFL, offensive line coaches in the NFL, they become offensive coordinators because they add tremendous value. 23.5 is way too big of a line. 23.5 is a line that I just kind of can't see anybody getting behind. And even though I do think Georgia wins this game, and I think they win it pretty handily, I don't think they win it by 24 points. I just don't see them winning it by 24 points. Go ahead and give me Kentucky. Next up, number 13, Ole Miss travels to Neyland Stadium to take on the Tennessee Volunteers. Man, this is an SEC loaded one. I did not realize I picked that many SEC teams in this series. But the Vols are, I don't know what to make of the Vols. Like, I really don't know what to make of Tennessee. Because they're not a great team. But they also don't lose that many games. And on top of that, they also are really playing consistent football underneath Josh Heupel. Like, Heupel has really done a good job. Better than anything Butch Jones did. Better than anything Jeremy Pruitt did in the last few years. Like, he's actually not a bad coach. But what's interesting is that they're very one-dimensional. It's very easy to beat Tennessee. Let them start hot and watch them cool off. You just got to be able to score more points. I've watched them tear it up in the first half. 32 points, 38 points, 41 points. Then they kind of fall off. They I think they don't have more than a touchdown in an entire half this entire season. I think they have like maybe 10 total points. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's not a big story when you look at it for pound. Overall, if you just want to beat Tennessee, just make sure you score more points in the second half, because if you'll be fine. You can even struggle early on. That's the thing with Ole Miss. They have a top five offense, they have a top five passing attack, they're one of the more complete teams. And the line's only at 3.5. The line is only at 3. It's +3 Tennessee. No, I take the points. I 100% take the points. Ole Miss is going to be able to win this game outright. I think they win by like 7 or maybe even 10. I really like this Ole Miss team. I think they get a really good bounce back. They've kind of had some struggles against both Arkansas and against Alabama. I don't think that that's going to be a problem, because a lot of people are picking this to be the upset of the week. I actually go against that. I like the likes of Mississippi, Ole Miss over Tennessee. TCU travels to number 4 Oklahoma. Line is at -11.5. I think Lincoln Riley is really going to do this, and this becomes a problem. Lincoln Riley is going to play both quarterbacks. Lincoln Riley is going to play both quarterbacks throughout the game, and that's eventually going to cost the likes of the Sooners to cover the spread. TCU is going to run the ball. They're going to try and run it efficiently. I get it. This is still a top 10 run defense, but they're going to be able to use Zach Evans as a weapon out of the backfield in the passing game, and guess what? When that happened with Bijan Robinson, it was very effective. I don't see why it can't be. For the Horned Frogs, I actually like the Horned Frogs in this game. -11.5 feels way too high, especially coming off of the momentum of what you saw in the Cotton Bowl against Texas. This should be a very easy line for TCU to cover if TCU is actually a decent team. Now, if they're going to struggle this year, it makes total sense. But I don't think that they are. I just don't think that they're hitting their stride at the right moment. So this is the moment where I think that they can. Number 5, Clemson -13.5 over Syracuse. Syracuse lost a close one last week to Wake Forest. I get it. I understand that Tony Elliott's offense is very stagnant right now. It's not really picking up steam. It's not really anything that people were excited about. But I look at this Syracuse defense. It's bad. Like, this Syracuse defense is so bad. They allowed Sam Hartman to come back in this game for the Demon Deacons, improve his team's record to 6-0. Like, they were able to do a lot because of him. Like because of how poorly the defense played, they were able to get a lot done. I look at that and I go, you know what? It just doesn't feel right to go any other way against them. So I go ahead and take Clemson. Clemson, take the points, -13.5. That feels like a very easy and safe bet. Lock of the week, Arizona State at Utah. The line is +1 in favor of the Utes. Guys, Jaden Daniels is really good. This Arizona State team is actually going to be, I think, viable to make a run to actually win the Pac-12. I actually really like the way that Herm Edwards has this team. +1 feels -1 is like way too low. -1 is like far, far, far too low for a top 25 team. I go ahead and say Arizona State gets the big time win. I go at least by a touchdown. So that's my lock. And the upset of the week. I usually put this as a separate team, but I can't. I don't like Oklahoma right now. I do not like what Oklahoma's done. I do not like what Oklahoma has acted like. So with that in mind, I think TCU gets the win. I think TCU upsets the Sooners. This will be the most monumental game of the weekend. And the Horned Frogs will prove that Oklahoma, even though they do have a really good quarterback in waiting in Caleb Williams, and even though Spencer Rattler is up, not going to say the word, guess what? They have way too many other problems to actually make it as a college football playoff contender. All right, let's go to the NFL real fast. Raiders at Broncos. The line is -3.5. Guys, the Raiders are going through so much right now with the John Gruden situation, with how everything kind of fell apart, with where the team's direction is, plus, as a roster, they've made so many bad moves underneath the Gruden era that it just doesn't feel like they're going to be able to get anything going for them whatsoever. Broncos have Teddy Bridgewater. They're playing at home. They feel a little bit more healthy. They feel a little bit more consistent. Go ahead and take the -3.5. Go ahead and take the Broncos. The Vikings at the Panthers. Line is at 1.5. Sam Darnold has to improve, but this is a defense that you probably can do it against. This is a defense that you probably can find your niche and your rhythm and consistency again. The Vikings, I do like Kirk Cousins. I don't think the problems that they've had recently are on him, but there's something going on with this team where they have to figure it out. I don't know what it is just yet, but whatever it is, if they can't get it done, they're going to be in a lot of trouble for the remainder of the season. Pound for pound, defensively, Carolina is way leaps and bounds ahead of the likes of the Vikings. So I have to go lean in that direction. I think that the Panthers easily cover the 1.5 spread. Go ahead and take the points. Dolphins versus the Jaguars. This is going to be across the pond. We already know this. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting because Tua Tagovailoa is supposed to be coming back. Trevor Lawrence is going to be playing at full capacity. Trevor hasn't missed the past 3 weeks. Will Tua be stale? Will Tua be rough? Will this be the game that Jacksonville gets the win, their first underneath Urban Meyer? And No, it's not. Listen, I do believe that Tua at least has some stability. I think Tua does offer more value. And pound for pound, the roster is better defensively. The roster is 1,000 times better in Miami than it is in Jacksonville. Offensively, both have issues on the offensive line. One wide receiver is extremely hurt for Jacksonville. Guess what? Devontae Parker, the number one wide receiver right now for Miami, is healthy. He's in the best shape. He is good to go. He's able to play. And Tua has more time in the NFL. He has more understanding to what the offense is running. I go ahead and say the Dolphins get the spread, points. -3.5. Go ahead and take the Dolphins. Number 4, Seattle at the Steelers. This is Sunday Night Football. 4.5. I don't like either team. I don't think either team is a playoff team anymore. I don't think either team is going to be really that great. But Pittsburgh does have its starting quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. Guess who does not have their starting quarterback? Seattle. They're going to have go ahead and play Geno Smith. Smith has got to be able to figure things out in Pete Carroll's system. I don't think that gets done. With all that in mind, it feels more so in favor of the Steelers. It feels like that being also a home game really helps out. And 4.5 is not that big of a line. Go ahead and give me the Steelers. Take the points on this. So far in all my games, I'm telling you to take the points. Am I telling you to take the points one more as the Buffalo Bills travel up, or I guess down, to the Music City in Nashville, take on the likes of Tennessee at -5.5? Yeah, I do. Tennessee's defense right now has way too many injuries. They're way too inconsistent. Caleb Farley was a long-term project. Elijah Molden has missed some time at that nickel defensive back position. Kevin Byard still is having a decent season, but he is slowly declining from that contract extension that he had a few years ago. And overall, this offensive line that's protecting Ryan Tannehill is not that great. And what's the one thing that has improved immensely for the likes of Buffalo? Buffalo's pass rush. Buffalo's pass rush has become one of the more physical forces, and it's why they rank top 10 in almost every single category. So, yeah, I say easily, take the -5.5. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Buffalo is going to be able to cover that line behind a really good performance from Josh Allen. And my upset of the week. Oh, wait, my lock of the week. My bad. My lock of the week. Surprise. I'm going to go the Houston Texans +9.5 over the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Colts do win this game. I do think the Colts have a better performance. But Davis Mills did look better than Mac Jones for most of Sunday's loss to the New England Patriots. I think that this is a team that defensively has a lot of holes. I don't know what is going on with Indianapolis, but they don't feel complete defensively. You just watched them suffer a heartbreak loss to Lamar Jackson. I really think that Houston can cover the spread. Upset of the week, the Detroit Lions will play host to the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow will have a lot of turnovers and a lot of miscues and mistakes because he's not able to talk. Jared Goff, Dan Campbell will get their first wins as the members of the Detroit Lions. The line is at +3.5 for Detroit. I think they went outright. Give me at Ford Field. It's rocking. Detroit and the Motor City move on to a brand new one-win team. They have it. My best bet of the week right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Well, the Washington football team decided to make news. It was somewhat positive. The way it had happened was not positive, but Sean Taylor, one of the greatest safeties of the last 25 years, one of the most dominant physical forces that ever donned a Washington uniform, will have his number officially retired on Sunday when the team plays the Kansas City Chiefs. During his time, you know, everyone remembers the tragedy of what happened to Taylor, an up-and-coming superstar who was unfortunately shot and killed at his home at the only age of 24. He was on his way to becoming a, you know, basically a Hall of Famer and a superstar. But the announcement comes just a few days after John Gruden, the disgraced now Las Vegas Raiders head coach, had sent emails, or had his emails had been released, that were directed to former Washington team president Bruce Allen. This feels like very much a, hey, we don't want to get screwed, so let's put a Band-Aid over it. Hey, the infection is brewing up, so let's go ahead and throw some hydrochlorine on it. Let's go ahead and put a Band-Aid on it, and let's never talk about this again. Like, let's never, ever, ever, ever talk about this again. Like, it was a bad move. Like, and then what's really funny is, like, they had multiple opportunities to kind of turn around and say, oh, you know what, this is what we actually meant by it. No, Washington, we didn't. Instead, you just double down. What a mess.